Hi, Nick DiGilio here. So we're going to talk about 20 overused words and what to say instead. So what are some words or phrases that people use all the time that make you crazy? And if you want to be the grammar police this morning, we can talk a little bit about that. We love talking about that, phrases and words and things like that. But what are the most overused ones that make you nuts? 312-981-7200. I'll tell you something. I was looking at this list. I'm guilty of saying a bunch of these. Or a few of them, at least. So, anyway. Now, I did not know, Dan, this is fascinating. Yesterday was National Thesaurus Day.
I did not know that either.
I didn't know that. Esmeralda, did you celebrate National Thesaurus Day?
I did not.
Wow. They have holidays for every day, but National Thesaurus Day. So, in honor... Espresso brings you 20 of the most overused words in the English language and some alternative words that you use instead. So let's check this out. All right, here's one of the most, according to Espresso, Esmeralda, this is one of the most overused words. Amazing. I would agree with that. And I use it a lot, but I would agree with that. I think that is an overused word. In recent years, it's become commonplace to describe anything the slightest bit good as amazing. According to Merriam-Webster Dictionary, amazing means causing astonishment, great wonder, or surprise. Then they say, so the next time you're about to blurt it out, stop and think about what you really mean. Will good suffice or great? Or perhaps you really do mean astonishing, stunning, or jaw-dropping, in which case... any of those words will better convey your meaning than the diluted amazing. Yeah, people, that's a word that is used a lot. I think I've said it. I said it at least twice during my interview with Kevin. Maybe to describe the Super Bowl or Jim Tomey's career. I don't know. You hear amazing a lot, don't you, Dan?
Yeah, you know, like, I think with that one, it's just so ubiquitous now that you just kind of don't even notice it, you know?
Yeah. All right, how about this phrase? A lot of. A lot of. It says, okay, technically, this is three words, but there are more concise ways of describing abundance, depending on the context, such as copious, numerous, plentiful, myriad, or even oodles, if you're keeping it casual. Esmeralda, when was the last time you used the word oodles?
Yeah, I'm not going to use oodles.
Without the N in front of it, because I can understand, you know, noodles.
I would be more annoyed if someone said oodles of something.
Than a lot
like,
of?
Yeah.
But that's keeping it casual, Esmeralda. Hey.
Like, what are you, five? Oodles.
Look, got oodles of laughs. How about myriad? That's a good word, myriad.
It is, but I'd be like, all right. Should you also have a... pipe and a smoking jacket on? A myriad.
Plentiful, numerous, and copious. Those are the words that you should use instead of a lot of. Interesting is the next one on the list. This is another one that tons of people use. Because it's used so often... in such vastly different contexts, it's sometimes hard to know what a person really means by interesting. Do they use it when something is good, bad, intriguing, or bizarre? Merriam-Webster's definition of interesting is holding the attention, arousing interest. So be more specific by choosing a synonym like engaging, gripping, riveting, or captivating.
My friend and Alyssa and I, when we worked together, had a no interesting rule, and you had to put a buck in the jar anytime you said interesting. And she's much smarter than I am, so I ended up putting a lot of money in the jar. But
yeah.
it is, again, one of those things where you start realizing, like, wow, I do say that several times a day,
yeah,
just to cover a blanket of situations,
yeah,
that are not necessarily interesting.
Well, it's because the thing about this is that it. When you use the word interesting, it does have the connotation is important, because you could say, hey, you know, Stormy Daniels was on Jimmy Kimmel last night. Interesting. So it's not, that's not necessarily interesting, a porn star on a late night talk show, but the take is, I don't know. You know what, you know what I mean? So just throw the word interesting, and it's true, because using these words or phrases over and over and over again, they do dilute them, and you know, they change what the original meaning of the word is. Because, so, engaging, gripping, riveting, or captivating. So, Esmeralda, you would say that's a myriad of captivating feelings.
See, I usually use it as a nice way of commenting on something.
What do you mean?
Like, if someone's like, oh, look at this dress I made. Like, oh, that's interesting.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, you being a smartass.
Right.
Yeah.
But people don't catch up to it, or they don't figure it out, so it's, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. See, again, and that's, you know, but that's just the way it's used, in what context that the word is used. Like, if I obviously, you know, made a comment to you about something that you are, have no possible interest in, and then you reply with interesting, I know you're being a smartass.
Yeah, I'd go, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, but you're a smartass like 30% of the time. I know.
Yeah, so then what am I supposed to say now?
Yeah. You can't say interesting anymore? You could say myriad. I think you should start saying myriad, Esmeralda, and get a smoking jacket.
Yeah, but that's not, that would not make sense.
No, it wouldn't make, no, I'm just saying, just instead of a lot of, just say myriad.
There's
and I wanna,
a myriad of traffic problems tonight on the roads.
Yeah,
say
no, that.
But that's not the word I need changing. I need changing.
You need interesting, right. You need interesting.
I need a better, I need another word so I don't.
You know, you could also use it, you can also use it in a smart ass way. You can say riveting. Like, hey, what do you think of the new professional wrestler, Esmeralda? Riveting. And then I know that you're being a smartass, because you don't care about professional wrestling.
Oh, that's riveting.
Yeah. All right. Oh, we're getting some texts in. Whenever we talk about grammar and words and phrases, it triggers some stuff in people who are like, who get really, you know, bent out of shape at certain phrases and words and the way people, you know, sometimes misuse the language. Judy says, I hate the word posh. Just say expensive or fancy. I also hate the phrase, my bad. It's like nails on a chalkboard. My bad, you don't hear it really anymore. There was a time when everybody was saying my bad, right, Dan?
Oh, yeah.
But you don't really hear that one very. Am I just out of touch? Or, I haven't heard my bad in a long time. I don't think it's used. I don't think the phrase my bad is used nearly as much as it used to be. There's a myriad of times that it's not been used. Posh. Do people say posh when not talking about the Spice Girls?
Not in this country.
They hate the word posh. Just say expensive or fancy. All right. 574 says, area code says, irregardless is not a word. You should just say regardless. It drives me nuts. Now, here's a thing. Here's a thing. You know, over the course of so many, many myriad, a myriad of years, people have misused words so often that sometimes they make the dictionary, or they make up words. And because they're in the lexicon and people are saying them, they end up being an official word in a dictionary. I believe irregardless is in the dictionary. And it's not, it shouldn't be. But I believe since people just have used it for so many years that I think it actually ended up in the dictionary. And I think that's the case with a lot of weird phrases or words or things that we use that aren't necessarily proper words, and they end up in the dictionary because the dictionary has to bend to us to us humans messing up words.
Yeah, but who's determining what words are words?
The Merriam-Webster dictionary.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, but I think it's, they're determining it because people are saying it. Like, it's like it's become part of the, like, irregardless is, people have been saying irregardless for years.
Right.
And I think at some point the Merriam-Webster people went, oh, God, just put it in the dictionary.
It is in there.
Yeah. It's not a word. It really wasn't a word until somebody misused it, and then millions and millions and millions of people misused it after that, and it became part of our language. So
isn't
they were
that
like
almost not almost every word, but there's a lot of words
yeah.
I'm sure that are like that where they've just been changed. I mean,
yeah.
there's not like some word fairy that's like, nope, this may not be changed ever.
Yeah, I mean, it's not. It might not be the most proper because irregardless, I've never said irregardless in my life. I've never said that. I mean, besides when I just said it now, but like in a regular sentence, I've never said, well, irregardless of what you think, I've never said that.
Through and Two lets us know it is in the dictionary, but in the definition they say that it is improper usage.
Oh, okay.
So they do specify that.
Yeah,
people
I think
are
that
wrong.
You know what, Dan? They probably do that with all of those added words. They probably say this is not really, but we had to add it because you people just keep saying it over and over again. All right. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We have overused words, 20 words that are overused, and some words that you can use instead of using that word over and over again. And then we're just talking about language and grammar and phrases and stuff. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Let's take a break. We'll come back with more on WGN. See, now this is a good song.
Have Keith Moreland drop a routine fly.
This is a good song.
Give everybody two bags.
Two for Tuesday. Yeah, man, two for Tuesday. A much better Steve Goodman song, a dying Cub fan's last request. Steve Portage requested that. Two for Tuesday, one artist, two songs. Get your requests in. We'll play them. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. That is also the number to call or text. We are talking about overused words, and as a subcategory here, you know, phrases that may be driving you nuts, grammar things. But I have here a list of overused words and some words that you should use instead of using those overused words. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. A little bit later on, Esmeralda and I will go head-to-head in another epic battle of celebrity name game coming up. All righty then. All right, next on the list is very/really. Very and really mean to a great degree. Very and really are used interchangeably and far too frequently. These words can often be omitted, but if you want to add emphasis, try truly, genuinely, exceedingly, profoundly, especially, particularly, or uncommonly. Yeah. That makes sense. There's a lot of synonyms for the very really thing. So, truly, genuinely, exceedingly, profoundly, especially, particularly, or uncommonly. Those are the words to use instead of very or really. Literally. Okay, this is not just an overused word, but it's a misused word. Like, completely misused. For another rampantly misused word, literally refers to the most basic, straightforward meaning of something, as in the opposite of figuratively. So if you say, I was literally drowning in paperwork, that means your body really was submerged in a pile of papers. It's not truly what happened, but you feel you must intensify your statement. Try positively or absolutely, which adds emphasis without making it seem as if your life is in danger. Yeah, the literally thing, I think that's a pet peeve for a lot of people, don't you think, Dan?
Oh, very much so.
Yeah. Like, my head exploded. No, it didn't, because your head would have exploded. You
would not be telling me
you
this.
You wouldn't be telling me this because your head would be there'd be brains all over the walls because that's what that means. Literally, my head exploded. No, it didn't. Used to great effect by Rob Lowe in Parks and Rec. See, he's the only guy, as far as I'm concerned, Rob Lowe on Parks and Rec is the only guy who gets a pass on misusing the word literally. But that's one of those ones where I hear it and it gives me a little ugh, like inside my head I'm like oh. And I mean the one pet peeve that I have, Dan, that makes me crazy that I bring up every time we talk about grammar or misuse words or overused words, I don't say anything. You know what I mean? I don't correct anybody. I don't become the grammar police and say, "Hey, you use that incorrectly," because let people talk the way they want to talk. If this mistake drives me nuts, it'll drive me nuts just literally inside my head. And that is, I could care less. When people say I could care less, it makes me nuts. I don't, again, I'm not going to correct anybody. I'm not going to be that grammar police person. But when I hear it, it's like nails on a chalkboard. And that's you know, like, oh, I could care less. Well, that means you could actually care less. It's I couldn't care less. That is the correct usage of that phrase, is I couldn't care less, not I could care less. So, all right, we have to check out. Esmeralda's in the hut. Something's happening in the traffic world. What's going on, Esmeralda?
Yes, on the outbound side of the Dan Ryan, this is in the local lanes at the Chicago Skyway, we have all lanes down there due to a crash.
Ooh.
So this is outbound Dan Ryan in the locals at Chicago Skyway. All lanes are blocked.
Oh, boy. All right, we'll keep an eye on that. That's not good. Keep an eye on that. So, anyway. Esmeralda, when people say, my head literally exploded, does that drive you nuts?
No. Yeah. No, like, when people say that, like, that, honestly, it doesn't really bother me.
Yeah.
It may be the way they say it.
The literally thing, that's one that gets to me.
I've been like, whatever. I'm going to write you off the second you start using it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I couldn't care less to I could care less. That's the one that really.
So which one's the right one?
Couldn't. I couldn't care less.
So I couldn't care less.
I couldn't care less.
Is the right way of saying it.
Yes.
Okay.
When you just don't care about what this person is saying or the event or anything, you say I couldn't care less. Because if you could care less, then you're not caring less enough.
You should make a video explaining.
Nick's educational videos.
Right.
Diagramming sentences.
Oh, it'd be great. And then we would use literally, and your head would literally explode in the
thing,
video.
The thing is, I'm a dumbass. I should not be making educational videos for any purpose. There are only a few things in the world of grammar and language that make me crazy. Now, diagramming sentences, that's one thing. I could teach people how to diagram sentences. But, like, to correct somebody's use of grammar in me? It would be the most hypocritical thing for me to do, is to correct someone's use of language. I barely can speak the language.
Yeah, but if you're diagramming sentences, I feel like you have more of a handle on grammar.
Well, it's diagramming sentences. It's weird because diagramming sentences is more like a puzzle. It really, you have to identify what the adverb, the noun, the verb, what, you know.
I can even tell you what an adverb is.
Yeah, of course you can. But you have to identify what is it doing in the sentence, and then which word is what, and it's not really, a grammar thing. Is it more like math, Dan? I mean, it's an analyzing.
I think it's an art, Nick.
It's a
you're an artist.
I never paid attention that.
Well, no, nobody did. I'm the only person in the. I'm the only
you
person
and,
on the
you
planet.
And Patty, I
you,
think.
You looked up from your author's trading cards.
That's right.
And
I was
attention.
Like, I played authors last night, and I'm going to diagram sentences today. That was my life when I was a kid. I don't know, but it's not really a grammar thing. I don't know. It's so weird. Okay, we're going to take a break, and we'll come back with more misused and overused words. 312-981-7200. All right. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. The great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. It's Tuesday. Two for Tuesday, man. Yeah, two. Tuesday, two. It's get your request in now. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Dave chose a twofer from Jim Croce, and that's Bad, Bad Leroy Brown. Yeah. Well, Jim Croce was huge in the early 70s. Huge. Taking off his twofer. Boy, that's two guys who died too young for Twofer Tuesday here. We had Steve Goodman and now Jim Croce. Like, both singer-songwriter folk guys who died too young. Let's not make this a pattern. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. And we've been talking about this list. For those of you who didn't know, yesterday was National Thesaurus Day. I know you probably celebrated it with a massive party. Probably had a bigger party than the Super Bowl to celebrate National Thesaurus Day. And so we've got these overused words that are used too much, and some words that you can use instead. 312-981-7200. We're talking about overused words, misused words, and then expanding upon that with phrases and things like that that might drive you nuts. And here's Scott on WGN. Hey, Scott.
Oh, you talk about your head exploding. This has happened, I don't know, within the past 5 or 10 years. And it seems to happen with athletes. When someone's interviewing them, they'll ask a question, and the athlete starts his answer with, "I mean."
Mm-hmm.
It drives me crazy.
Yeah, that is something that happens pretty frequently. I think some of the reasons why we and everybody uses phrases is because they don't want to be quiet. I think there is this need to fill the space with a phrase or a word just because it's better than silence. I think that's I really think that's kind of ingrained in people's head.
I guess.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thanks, Scott.
It drives me nuts every time I hear it.
All right. Thanks, Scott. So you're asked a question. The first thing you say is, "I mean." So, but I really do think that some of that has to do with, you know, needing to fill the space with words when you're having a conversation with someone. So you go back on these easy tropes. You go back on these phrases that you know you can just shoot out there. It'll fill in the air and it won't be quiet. And I know that that's some of the thinking in my part because of my job. Because my job is to have no dead air.
I mean, at least for me, I use it as a way to give my feelings.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody, you know, if somebody asks me something like, "What did blah blah blah? What did you think of it?" Well, I mean,
yeah, but also
kind of make this like, oh.
But it's also you know, you want to have, you know, here's the thing. I think a lot of people, and this is just my theory, a lot of people want to say something immediately. Like if someone asks you a question, you want to say something immediately, where it's not. You know, you may be perceived as slow or dumb if you don't say something immediately. But then while you're saying that, because it's so meaningless, like when you say, yeah, I mean, you're thinking of something else as you're saying that phrase. You know, like you're filling in the time. Instead of being silent and thinking of your intelligent response, you're filling in that time with meaningless words until you come up with the intelligent response that you want. I think that's kind of one of the dynamics that's happening. So, yeah. But, you know, being in this business, Esmeralda, as you know, no dead air. Like, anytime there's silence, I immediately, because it's radio, you got to go, why are we silent?
Right. But I almost feel like sometimes silence is golden.
Not on the radio.
Well, you can, no, but there can be, there can be some silence,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah,
because it can evoke a feeling or a meaning of something.
Rosenberg was the master of the pregnant pause.
Oh yeah,
it was like used it masterfully.
Yeah, yeah. It's just that I don't have the knowledge that Milt Rosenberg had. You know, nor the articulate way of speaking. But he was like, yeah, he would. Milt would take those pauses. But I just keep, I'm so like hyper, you know, and something, you know, something has to be said. I want to constantly be entertaining or constantly fill the air with sound so that people who are listening to words and sound as opposed to silence. You know, do you remember that commercial that we ran periodically? You guys remember it where they do like dead air for like 10 seconds?
I do.
What was it about?
I can't remember do you remember what it was for? It drove me nuts. Every time it came on and it would do this thing, I would immediately think I did something wrong.
But would it do it in a way that made it sound as if something had gone wrong? Because if it was just people talking and then there's a silent, I feel like there's different.
Well,
you can do a silence without it being like, whoa, what's happening?
I think if people are listening on the radio, you know, the commercial probably conveyed what it was supposed to do. But when I'm here half listening and I'm in the studio, like half listening, maybe prepping for the next segment or reading something, and I suddenly hear silence, I don't care what the context is, I freak out.
Yeah. Might have been something about hearing.
It might have been. And to your point, Nick, like, this is behind the scenes for folks, but like when we have our commercial logs on the computer screen, it lists what the commercial is, but underneath there'll be little notes, like perhaps the person in house who voiced it, or you know, this should not run until after next date, whatever.
Right.
That spot had a note in there, 10 seconds dead air on purpose, just because they knew that, you know, if we didn't look at that beforehand,
right,
our natural inclination should be, look at that vault. Did it break down? Did it bust down?
Right.
Is it not working?
And, you know, and obviously that, you know, like that note about 10 seconds dead air, I always forgot about it. You know what I mean? Like I would run the commercial several times during the week. And then every time it would go dead, I'd look at my board to see if there was anything wrong or if a button was pressed. And then I'd look up at the log and I would see the note that says 10 seconds dead air. And I go, oh, okay, God, I forgot about that. And then maybe 3 hours later, I'm playing the commercial again, and it goes dead again. I go, ah! Same thing. I never really remembered that note. I always had to look back at it, because your first inclination when you hear dead air on the radio is to freak out. So, but I really think that has carried over into the way I speak. Like, I don't want there to be any silence. I think Patty feels the same way, because Patty and I are very similar. We always talk, and we always talk fast. There always has to be something to fill the void. So, anyway. All right. Let's see. 630 area code says, they don't like the word like used, like when people like say this. So surreal. Is that used a lot? Is so surreal, Esmeralda? Is that used a lot?
I haven't really heard it.
I mean, I've heard it.
I don't use it.
I've heard it a few times. I just don't hear it enough.
I mean, yes, but not in a way that I'd be like, wow, that's overused.
Yeah. And then literally, this person hates literally.
Right. I think the like can get to you because people use it so much nowadays, just as those pauses.
Yeah.
They use them as pause fillers.
Right.
So it really does, because you'll hear it in between, like in one sentence, there'll be three likes.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my God.
And okay. I think that goes back to what we were talking about, Esmeralda. I think it's, you're thinking to yourself what you're going to say next. So in order to fill that, you say something like, or I mean.
Right. And that's
without really thinking. It just happens, you know?
That's been going on for some time now.
Oh, yeah.
People like to blame the millennials on that, but no.
No.
I remember being pretty young and that whole thing about, like, Abraham Lincoln didn't have any likes in his speech.
I think that's pretty funny. All right, we got a break here. We got weather and we got traffic, and then we'll get back to more of the overused words, misused words, and we got texts coming in and all kinds of stuff. 312-981-7200. Celebrity name game coming up, Esmeralda. Are you prepped and ready?
I'm ready to win.
All right. All right. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Dave on his 2 for Tuesday. Yeah, 2 for Tuesday, man. 2 for Tuesday. Picks Jim Croce. That's Time in a Bottle. And you want to get in here? One artist, two songs. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. And we've been talking about the English language and phrases, particularly overused words. Yesterday was National Thesaurus Day. I celebrated with a parade. And we are talking about 20 of the most overused words, some of which are misused in the English language, and giving you some synonyms that you could use instead of using those overused words. And this has opened up some floodgates here in the world of calls and texts at 312-981-7200. For people giving out their the things that drive them crazy about misuse of words and phrases and things like that. 312 area code says, I hate cool, or that's cool. Yeah, I don't know. That doesn't bother me. I use the word cool. That started out, cool started out like as a, I believe they, if you can trace that, the way that cool is used sometimes to describe something that's good or hip. I think that goes back to hippie talk. Don't you think, Dan? It's like a 60s. Yeah, it's cool, man.
That would make sense.
Yeah, I think it goes back to like 60s, sort of the hippie culture. Cool, man. You know who used to use the word man all the time? Roy Leonard. Hey, how's it going, man? He was the coolest dude in the planet. Hey, man, how's it doing? How you doing, man?
I noticed that when I was a young intern studying under the tutelage of Matt Bubala, Ace producer, he would always use man for people he couldn't put on air. So, like, when, you know, like, people who called up and were well-intentioned but weren't on topic or just it wasn't going to fly, he would bust out man. You know, like, listen, man, I really appreciate the call. That's a good point, man. But, you know, we're just going to run out of, you know, we're just going to run out of time here. Or just not today, man. Good call, man. But just
that's
not,
when
not
he would
today.
Pull he'd pull that
the
out.
The man would.
That's funny. Yeah, Roy used to just say it all the time. How's it going, man? To everybody. Good to see you, man. Speaking of Roy, here's the next text here from the 708 area code. I once heard Roy Leonard interview an editor of the Oxford Dictionary. They were considering the word anxiety. Most people use it to connote a certain degree of expectation. However, it derives from the word anxious, which is a certain degree of fear or trepidation. So, in fact, we are using it wrong when we give it the meaning of expectation. No, I don't use anxious wrong because I have many anxieties and I know feeling anxious is not pleasant and it's not, I mean, it's just, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Anxious is not that's not a fun way to describe something. It's not. Steve says an interesting tangent would be words whose definitions got changed. Example, Google used to mean 10 to the 100th power. Now it means to search for something on the internet, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I would bet dollars and donuts if you asked somebody to give me the definition of Google, they'd just be like, to search for something.
Right. Not. As opposed to the real definition, which is, I mean, it's a word that did exist before the company took it. I don't think a lot of people used Google before Google began using it for their search engine. 309 area code says, growing up, my mother would call overused words flabby. Oh, I like that. I like that, man. That's a flabby word. I like that. Don't talk so flabby. 217 area code says, when you were talking about literally and the head exploded example, I just thought of the movie Scanners and Michael Ironside. Well, yes, of course. That's whenever anybody talks about exploding heads, you got to think of Scanners. I mean, it is the exploding head movie. Although lots of movies feature exploding heads. Didn't Running Man have a lot of exploding heads? Didn't they put something around the necks of people running around and then they hit a button and their heads exploded?
I believe you are correct, yes.
Total Recall.
Total Recall.
Lady's head.
Yeah.
Basically any Arnold Schwarzenegger movie from the late 80s or
whatever. It features exploding heads. I always thought that the ending of Total Recall was ridiculous. Well, there's a lot of ridiculous stuff in Total Recall. But let me just preface this by saying Total Recall rules, but it's a ridiculous movie. Like when they end up on Mars at the end and they're exposed to the atmosphere and their eyes are like bugging out in their head. How does their head go back to normal size? How does Arnold Schwarzenegger's head not be completely damaged by that? At one point, his eyes are halfway out of his head. His head is expanding. His tongue is 15 feet long.
We're a resilient being.
Yeah. It's as the atmosphere is being, you know, is being changed, but they're exposed to it. So him and Rachel Ticketon. Whatever happened to her? Rachel Ticketon are out there, you know, exposed to the atmosphere, and they're going, eyes are bugging out, and then like the atmosphere is fixed, and then they're like, oh, everything's fine. There's no damage. My skull, which was stretched out,
maybe they take something since, you know, it's normal to go to Mars now, and well, it's a possibility that you can.
But no, they stuck
outside.
They colonized Mars in the movie, but you couldn't go outside. Everything was inside.
Right, but there could be at some point in time possibility, and maybe they all take some vitamin now.
Yeah, well, that's not explained
in
the movie.
And their skin goes back.
But that's not explained in the movie. You think that might be a plot point that they would bring
that
up in the movie?
That was in the cut scenes. Yeah. There's a whole explanation by a doctor.
Yeah. No, they did that in the remake with Colin Farrell. That's what they did. They corrected that in the remake.
Now drink this cereal.
Yeah.
It's full of that stuff that helps you get back to your normal self if you fall in Mars.
If your head almost explodes and your eyes pop out of your skull, it'll all go right back to normal.
And then someone looks at the camera and winks.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, how about this? The word nice, they say, is overused.
As in, like, nice.
I think so, yeah. You can do so much better than nice when you want to describe something agreeable. Are they thoughtful, compassionate, gracious, affable, accommodating, charming? There are literally dozens of precise words to substitute the catch-all nice. Yeah, that word is used a lot. Here's Barbara on WGN. Hey, Barbara.
Hi, Nick.
Hi.
Oh, I'm enjoying this stuff, but this has bothered me a long time, but I never told anybody. The word exactly. Where did that come from? Who started that? Instead of saying yes, it's exactly.
Well, exactly, yeah, no, I mean, it's not where the word came from, because the word does have a purpose. But you're saying using it, replacing the word yes. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Right.
Right.
Isn't that right?
Yeah. No, and people do say, someone makes a statement, hey, the Cubs are good. Exactly.
Exactly.
Right.
No matter what you're saying, they come back with exactly.
Right.
Oh, that gets me. I don't know why.
Makes you nuts. All right, Barbara.
I'm enjoying your show.
Thank
today.
You. Have a good morning.
You too. Bye-bye.
Yeah. All right. 815 area code says people who say really a lot makes this person nuts. 847 area code says can't stand it when people say seen, S-E-E-N. My dad says seen all the time. He actually texted it to me the other day instead of saying saw. So I seen the movie?
I seen it?
I don't understand. Why would you replace seen with saw?
That doesn't
make any sense.
That's the grammar. No.
Yeah. Tom says it bothers me when people use the word decimate wrong. It started when soldiers would kill one in every 10 as a punishment for the whole group. Now it means destroy everything. So there's another one. Decimate has changed. The meaning has changed over the years. 630 area code says referring to yourself as me, like me and Keith, when the proper is Keith and I. 224 area code says I hate when an interviewee is asked a question and they begin the answer with sure. Well, that's like I mean. It falls into that same under that same umbrella. So, all right. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We got a break here. We got the news, and then we'll talk a little bit more about language and misused words and overused words and stuff like that. 312-981-7200 and a celebrity name game coming up at 4:30. All right, we will break here. News next. Two for Tuesday, man. Yeah, two for Tuesday. 773 area code, the 5-star steps with stair steps with the Passato. Yeah. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. We're here till 5 a.m. every weekday morning. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5, the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive on this Tuesday morning. Coming up after the 4:30 news, Esmeralda and I will bust out another celebrity name game event. But right now, we have been talking about, for those of you who aren't in the know, yesterday was National Thesaurus Day. And I hope you celebrated it beautifully. And so that got us to thinking about misused words or overused words, words that get used way too much, and we're giving you alternatives to those words. So 312-981-7200 for talk and text. This is also, we've been talking about, we've expanded on that, phrases that drive people crazy and misuses of grammar and things like that. 312-981-7200. Here's Paulette on WGN. Hi, Paulette.
Hi.
Hi.
Nice to talk to you.
Thank you.
I am a proud member of the Grammar Police.
Okay.
But one word that's misused a lot is unthaw. There really is no word unthaw.
Yeah. What does unthaw mean?
It means, you're refreezing.
Yeah,
something.
That's exactly right. Unthawing would be freezing something. Thawing.
Yeah, but when people take a steak out of the freezer, they say, I'm going to unthaw a steak.
That's true. They do, don't they? I never really thought about that. I've heard that. I've heard unthaw used before. I'm going to unthaw a steak. That's right, because unthaw would be the opposite of thawing.
Exactly.
Right. That's so goofy. All right, Paulette, have a great morning, okay?
You too. Thanks a lot for the show. It's
Thank
good.
You. Thank you.
Okay.
Take
Bye-bye.
Care. Bye. I'm going to unthaw a steak. Esmeralda, did you ever say that? Pull out a frozen piece of meat and go, hey, I'm going to unthaw that. So, anyway. All right, let's see. They say that an overused word is the word hard. You could swap hard in the sense of requiring considerable physical or mental effort for demanding, arduous, grueling, exacting, laborious, challenging, or plain old difficult. So instead of saying, oh man, that's hard, you could say, that's challenging.
This is laborious.
I used laborious just the other day when I was, I can't remember which meal it was, but I told Jeannie, that was laborious.
Jeez. Well, you mean the preparation of the meal? The
right.
cooking of the meal?
Right. It was a laborious recipe.
Did you then stick up your pinky in the air? Like, what?
You know, he had a smoking jacket on at the time, Esmeralda.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I can understand. But, wow, laborious. Good for you, man. That's a $5 word right there.
Right.
Yeah. I would have said hard because I'm a basic idiot. So, let's see. Sue says you should develop a diagramming sentences game and to put in newspapers like Sudoku. Oh yeah, that would take off. That would be bigger. Yeah, the New York Times crossword puzzle would go out of business if I started a diagramming sentence. Dan, you remember Omar Sharif used to have a column in the puzzle section. He was, I believe we had that as a trivia question.
We did have that. Actually, I'm trying to remember what context we had.
I think it might have been in a pop-up video.
Was it for Rock the Casbah?
I don't remember.
It's the only
Omar Sharif
pop-up video that comes to mind that Omar Sharif would be in.
Do you remember, Esmeralda, the answer to what he was an expert, what Omar Sharif was an expert at, and they would run it in the paper every day? A game?
I want to say...
It's a card game.
Yeah. I want to say gin rummy.
No. What do you cross to get from one side to the other of a lake? Like if it's something that's built over a body of water and you have to walk across it or drive
bridge.
Across it. That's it. There you go. Bridge. Omar Sharif was an expert in bridge.
You could have just told me.
No, we're getting an early preview of Celebrity Name Game.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Can't say the name.
Yeah, that's right. And I'm not going to say, I wasn't going to say what it was. I had to describe it for you. Let's see. Where am I right here on this? How about people who start the sentence off with, you know?
I knew someone who would end their sentences that way.
With a question mark? With like, you know?
With you know.
Oh, not even like... So when if you're saying to someone, hey, you know...
No, they would tell stories that way. So they'd be like, yeah, I was hanging out with these people, you know.
Oh, you know...
And they were
that.
Like a weird character, you know. And I'm just like, okay.
Yeah, no, that's a popular thing. That is. And I think that's what this person is starting. He's starting the sentence off with it. When 574 area code says when... someone says, with that said, I hate that. So, well, that means you're just going to say something contrary, right? If you're going to say, with that said, your next sentence is going to be contradictory to what you said before you say that. Or, right?
Sounds like it.
Dan, would you agree with that? In some form, right?
Right. I think you're...
definition is the proper use of it, but I think people also do that with like as kind of a bridge, you know, like, and so they don't need to say "with that said," if you're just continuing, if it isn't a contrary point. I think people add it.
They just add it when they're not.
When they're non-contrary points.
Right.
Like, I think the Cubs are going to have a good year. And that said, they're going to win a lot of games.
Oh, no, that's wrong.
Right. And I think I've heard it that way.
Oh, no, that's wrong.
Right. Like, they're trying to create a space to start a new thought when they don't have to.
Well, it would be, the proper use would be, I think the Cubs are going to be good this year. With that said, they need pitching.
Right.
Would that would be
correct.
Okay.
Right.
That's the correct use of the phrase.
On a similar one, that one, I have a friend who says, "I'll be honest with you here," and then I'll just be like, "Well, are you lying to me minute ago?"
That was Roy Leonard. Roy Leonard hated that so much. When someone would start a sentence with "to be honest with you," what does that mean? You lie to me every other time you talk? You know?
Probably.
Yeah. Well, that's my case. let's see. 815 area code. The word "basically" is used way too much, and it drives me nuts in all caps with exclamation points. Basically. 773 area code. "Myself." It's being incorrectly and overused in place of the word "me." Not an according to De La Soul. Hold on a minute. Wait. Hold on a second.
All right.
Jay in Ohio says, "I hate the word whatever." You say that a lot, Esmeralda.
Yeah, I do.
Like, when something doesn't go your way, whatever. We're probably going to hear it in the celebrity name game coming up.
Unless I win.
815 area codes. "Where and when did speaking in the third person start? It drives me crazy."
It's only weirdos.
Jimmy. The Jimmy on Seinfeld. You remember the Jimmy episode where the guy just refers to himself as Jimmy all the time?
Yeah.
All the time?
Those are like sociopaths.
No, it's crazy. Jimmy likes you. Jimmy thinks you're great. And then Elaine thinks that Jimmy is the guy that she's interested in, because she's interested in this guy that she sees across the way in the gym. And then Jimmy says to her, "Hey, you know, Jimmy's interested in you." And she thinks he's talking about the other guy, and she ends up going out on a date with Jimmy. Jimmy's going to put the moves on Elaine. Man, hey, that episode, you know who's on that episode, Dan? Who's on the Jimmy episode?
Who's that?
That would be Mel Torme, my good friend Mel Torme.
You and the Velvet Fog.
That's right, my buddy Mel Torme. He knows, you know, he knew in Chicago where to get a good tuna sandwich because of me. That's again one of my favorite moments ever. Was he came with Roy to three screenings. He was in town for like the Chicago theater. He did Roy's show, and then Roy said, you know, Mel Torme was a big movie fan, and Roy said, "Hey man," and he probably did say that. Hey man, that's how I start off all my Roy imitations. He's like, "Hey man, they're screening some movies. You want to come with us? Come with me, and we'll go to movies." So. The screening room that we were at, this was in 87. I remember that we saw three movies. Here are the three movies. One of them was Running Man, Dan. See how it all comes together?
What the hell is going on?
One of them was Running Man. We saw Running Man. We saw Overboard with Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn. And we saw Barfly with Mickey Rourke and Frank Stallone and Faye Dunaway. And he hated Barfly. Mel Torme hated Barfly. And that was my favorite of the three movies. And he loved the other two. And he told great stories because, you know, Richard Dawson plays the game show villain in Running Game. And Mel Torme told stories about, I worked with Dickie Dawson. Dickie Dawson opened for me a couple of times. He made some smart remarks, got a little too big for his britches, and he never opened for me again. I'm like, thank you, Mel Torme, for that inside story. And he's like, Barfly was like, his problem was, why do I want to watch these people drink? Why do I want to spend 2 hours with these unlikable drunks? It's like, okay, Mel Torme. But the best was the screening room where we saw those movies, the entrance was behind us. So if you were sitting, you know, facing the screen and maybe having a conversation, you could hear people walking in behind us. And all of a sudden I hear, this is what I hear behind me without turning around. I hear, hey, how's it going, man? You know Mel Torme. And I go, what? That's what I hear. I turn around, there's Roy Leonard with Mel Torme. And he comes up to me, and they sit down, you know, they sit down next to me, and he goes, hey, Nick, you know Mel Torme? And I'm like, no, I don't know Mel Torme. I know of Mel Torme. But now I know him. So, anyway. All right, we have to break here. And then we'll wrap up the language stuff coming up right here on WGN. Two for Tuesday. Yeah, Tuesday. 312-981-7200-773. Area code says the five stair steps with Find Me. That's our second. And coming up in just a few minutes here, we got the news followed by another celebrity name game. And we've got people who are calling in and texting in with their sort of complaints about overused words or misused words, which is what we've been talking about. Celebrating yesterday's International Thesaurus Day, which I believe they're making a national holiday out of next year, Dan. We will have we will have that day off. We will have National Thesaurus Day.
You know, everybody complains how there's that long stretch between New Year's and Memorial Day. Which one's in May? I always forget.
Memorial Day. Yeah.
Labor Day, September, right?
Right.
All right. So there's a five-month stretch where people don't get a day off.
Right.
You institute National Thesaurus Day as a national holiday, you will be a even bigger hero than when your diagramming sentence column debuts in the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah. Hey, you know, I'm not the only one who likes diagramming sentences. I think we learned that from the past, right? We had listeners who were like, hey, diagramming sentences is cool. Right?
Yes. All five of you, I'm sure, get together and have a wonderful time.
Oh, and then play that author's game.
Author's, great game. Hey, Stephen Tobolowsky played authors growing up and loved it. And he's one of the coolest dudes on the planet. I the last time we had him on, I should have asked him if he liked diagramming sentences.
Do you still have your set when he comes to town? You guys can play around.
My set of what, authors?
Yes.
No, I don't think so. We went through a bunch of them. But yeah, authors, man.
I think the last time we talked about it, we did find that there's like an updated version online
or something. Yeah, I think there is. But it's a great game, man. Learned a lot. Fun game, fun card game. And I learned the authors of many books because of that game at a very young age. I stand by that game and diagramming sentences. You know why? Because I'm hip. I know what the kids like today. They like Jim Croce, authors, the card game, and diagramming sentences. And I know that. I watch the Grammys. I know what's hip. Jim Croce, diagramming sentences, and authors. All right. Let's go to the phones real quick before we close out on this topic. Here's Tom on WGN. Hi, Tom.
Good morning. Word veteran, it's often pronounced veteran makes me crazy. Intelligent people and radio and TV anchors, it's veteran, not veteran. Even guys that are in the military or promoting any veterans organizations who should know better. It is a three-syllable word, veteran.
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, it is veteran. It's not veteran. And I've heard veteran being pronounced by people. I've also heard Italy.
Oh, absolutely. Italy. Italian.
Italian. I love that. That's always my favorite, Tom. That's always my favorite. Okay, thanks, Tom.
Have a good day.
Yeah, Italian. I've loved that. Every time growing up as a half Italian guy, half Irish, I love when people say Italian. I think it's great. It's wrong, completely wrong, but it cracks me up every time somebody says Italian. And I think Italy's funny when someone says, yeah, I've been to Italy. What's Italy? I know of Italy, but I don't know what Italy is. I directed this play called Lake Boat, David Mamet play by Lake Boat. Or no, by David Mamet. It's Lake Boat by David Mamet. And one of the lines went, how do you know I've never been to Italy? And my actor, during like the first time we started rehearsing the show, we're going through that scene. He goes, how do you know I ain't been to Italy? Now, I was like, say it that way. David Mamet would come in and punch me right in the mouth because, you know, you have to say David Mamet's words exactly the way he writes them and pauses exactly the way they are there. But I was like, yeah, say Italy. How do you know I've never been to Italy? Here's Ron on WGN. Hey, Ron.
Hey.
Hey.
So, I have one, a complete 360.
Oh, yeah.
I get in a lot of trouble at home because my wife uses that phrase a lot. Heaven forbid that I correct her.
You know, a complete 360 is, you know, changing your mind about something and then changing it back to the first time.
Right, right. So whenever I correct my wife, I've got to do a complete 180 to make it right.
That's good. All right. All right, Ron. Thanks. Take care, man.
Yeah, bye.
All right, there you go. It's a 180, not a 360. 180. 540 area code says, the word cool started with jive jazz musicians and was adopted to the beatnik. So it was like early 50s, late 40s. Yeah, that makes sense. That totally makes sense. 815 says, I just can't stand hearing totally said a lot. Totally. Well, you better not watch Halloween. If you do watch Halloween, don't listen to PJ Soul's dialogue because she says totally. You know, I actually counted the number of times she said totally. I forget what it is. And I totally told her too when I had PJ Soul's on the show. I counted, and I think it's 12. I think she says it 12 times. It's less than you think because 12 doesn't seem that much, but it's like she's got a supporting part in the movie, and like almost half of her dialogue she says totally. 815 area code, not hot water heater, water heater. Yeah, that one kind of makes me nuts, too. I got to heat up my hot water. How do I heat up hot water? We'll get a hot water heater. It'll heat up your hot water, which is already hot. John in Ontario says, people who start their sentences with absolutely or so. 773 area code says, I'm done with the phrase moving forward. Yeah, no, I don't hear that one very often, which is fine. Andrea says, I know someone says, at any rate, about every other sentence. Oh, man, that would make me nuts. Every other sentence, starting out every other sentence with at any rate. And then finally, this one always comes up, Dan, whenever we talk about phrases, it always, always comes up.
Mm-hmm.
815 area code, it is what it is, the most annoying phrase ever. Of course it is what it is. What else would it be? I think that's how we close out the subject. Take a break. The news is coming up next, and then Celebrity Name Game right here on WGN.